Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We had that Arctic blast over the weekend. It's still chilly right now, but look where we're headed by Thursday, a high of 72 degrees. I'll show you why we're going to see such a big change.
And breaking news related to a Johnston County crash that killed four people. In the last hour, we learned what happened moments before the crash and who was behind the wheel.
And rallies on both sides of the abortion debate today, which marks the 51st anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in the Roe v. Wade case, will take you to one here in Raleigh that brought faith leaders of all backgrounds together.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us.
We have an update to that breaking news we've been following since early this morning. A state trooper clocked a driver going more than 100 miles per hour along I-95 just moments before he crashed off an exit ramp.
The State Highway Patrol released that new information on this deadly crash in the past hour. The crash happened at the Brogdon Road exit near Four Oaks around 2:30 this morning. WRAL's Eric Miller is keeping up with the investigation, and Eric, troopers say the driver was 17.
Michelle, State Highway Patrol has identified that driver as 17-year-old Alan Lee Lockamy of Archer Lodge. The other three passengers in the vehicle so far have not been identified. We're right here at the scene. I want to show you something that gives you a sense of how fast this SUV was moving. Look at these ruts left in the ground by that SUV as it came flying off 95, trying to reach this exit. And then you look off there into the distance, you see that copse of trees there. The bark on one of the trees completely blown off where that SUV made impact. Even a chunk of the SUV left embedded in the wood there. You take a look at some of this video from earlier. You can see that SUV, it hit broadside on the tree, absolutely crumpled by the impact. State Highway Patrol says a trooper clocked that SUV going 104 miles per hour just south of here. The trooper pulled out, trying to catch up with the SUV. By the time they got here, though, it was already too late. The SUV had run off the left side of the ramp and into the trees. The driver and the front passenger were trapped in the vehicle. The two people in the back were ejected. Unfortunately, all life-saving measures first responders took out here, well, they just weren't enough. All four people in that vehicle did die. Now, State Highway Patrol, as we said, they are still working to identify the other three passengers who were in that vehicle. We're also told that the crash reconstruction team, they may be back out here continuing to work. We know they are still trying to piece together what exactly happened here, what exactly went wrong with this terrible crash. Jeff?
Eric Miller reporting live for us off I-95 there. Eric, thank you. We have been telling you about the protests over salary changes within Durham schools for weeks, and this morning the school board met for almost 3 hours in closed session.
Yeah, the meeting notice said the discussion would focus on personnel matters. WRAL's Monica Casey was inside the building. Monica, have you been able to find out what came of that three-hour discussion?
Well, Michelle, we have been here since 8 o'clock when this meeting happened behind closed doors. It was closed to the public and to us to discuss attorney-client matters. It ended just before 11. We were told we'd get a statement after that meeting. We are now told that statement is coming at 2 p.m. While we don't know what happened behind closed doors this morning, we do know the chief financial officer for DPS, Paul LeSueur, has been suspended with pay since Friday, January 12th. The district says this was an overpayment issue, but some employees tell WRAL they were paid correctly and they're now not getting credit for years of service in other places. The employees impacted by this salary slip-up are classified. That's a group that includes transportation workers, nutrition and building services staff, instructional assistants, and physical and occupational therapists. The district has not said whether employees will have to pay back money from those checks last year. This payment issue has also caused transportation problems with school buses. Some mechanics and supervisors have not been showing up to work to protest. The superintendent has a closed personnel meeting with some of those mechanics here at 12:30 today. We've seen some of that group arriving and heading inside. The statement that we are expecting at 2 p.m. will be coming from the school board chair, Bettina Umstead. We will keep you updated. Michelle?
All right, Monica Casey, live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
Former State Treasurer Janet Cowell is running for Raleigh mayor. Cowell announced her candidacy this morning in a video posted on social media. Cowell served on Raleigh City Council 20 years ago and then served as a state senator and became the first woman elected state treasurer. Right now, she leads the Dix Park Conservancy nonprofit. So far, Cowell and City Councilor Corey Branch have announced they are in the race. Mayor Marianne Baldwin tells WRAL she's focused on governing right now and will make an announcement about re-election plans in the spring. Election day is November 5th. Today's the coldest day of the next 7 days, and then that Arctic air will give way to warmer temperatures. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at a much warmer and wetter pattern on the way.
You know, typically when we see warm, wetter patterns, that's when we tend to get into trouble sometimes with our air quality, especially when it's warm and humid. But interestingly enough, this morning we had a code red ozone pocket pop up, or air quality pocket, I should say, pop up over Cumberland County. We reached out to Cumberland County emergency managers. We reached out to the Forest Service and to Fort Liberty without having much success in figuring out where the smoke was coming from. You take a live look at Fayetteville and you can see it looks like there's a little bit of haze in the atmosphere. We take a look at the wind, and our wind direction is now shifting. So coming straight out of Cumberland County toward the Triangle area, and you may notice a little bit of haze in the atmosphere. The air quality, or the smoke plume, is beginning to dissipate a little bit. So it was code red earlier. It's down to code orange right now. Not likely to be something that's causing a lot of health problems because it's beginning to dissipate at this point. One other thing that we're seeing with this flow coming out of the south is our temperatures beginning to warm. The high pressure system moving on away from us is helping to shift our winds to southerly. So we currently have colder than normal temperatures over the area. You can see the blue shaded area. But you look back to the west, and as we get into the next few days, we start to see those colors changing to red and even to pink, signifying temperatures that will be as much as 20 degrees above normal. So we're going to just take an about face here. As that high shifts east, that's when we'll start to see that warmth beginning to push in. So here's how that looks for the next few days. 52 is our normal high. Of course, yesterday we were close to 40. We're at almost 49 for this afternoon, 55 for tomorrow, and then 67 Wednesday, 72 on Thursday and Friday. I'll show you how close that is to record highs, but why it may not feel as comfortable as it looks coming up.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Today, rallies are being held around the state to mark 51 years since the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the Roe v. Wade case. Roe was overturned by the High Court in 2022.
WRAL's Shelley Jackson joins us live from downtown Raleigh, where faith leaders from all over joined together to rally. Shelley.
Well, Jeff, dozens of people gathered here in downtown Raleigh today. We heard from 11 faith leaders from around North Carolina today at this rally. They were advocating for reproductive freedom. They touched upon the loss of reproductive rights when Dobbs was overturned a year and a half ago. Republicans in North Carolina imposed new limits on abortion, banning most procedures after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Today, religious leaders saying their faith supports a woman's right to choose.
The majority of people of faith in North Carolina deeply believe in a birthing person's right to bodily autonomy. We want reproductive rights like so many others across the state. And we're tired of a minority of people of faith claiming to be the moral voice in North Carolina.
And of course, abortion is shaping up to be a big issue in this year's presidential election. The first primary of the year is tomorrow in New Hampshire.
All right, Shelley Jackson live in downtown Raleigh. Thanks, Shelley. In about an hour, Governor Roy Cooper will be in Charlotte making a plea to keep access to safe abortions legal. Cooper will join other top Democratic lawmakers from across the state for a news conference there. Healthcare providers are also expected to speak during that event. It's part of a Joe Biden campaign initiative in the state. It'll get started at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Now, a water main break shuts down a main roadway in Fayetteville this noon hour. Take a look at new video into our newsroom of where this is all happening. This is happening on Morganton Road at Cliffdale Road. Maintenance crews, including from PwC, are on that scene trying to repair that water main break. We're also told ice is on that roadway. We know this morning temperatures were well below freezing. We're working to find out what caused this water main break and when crews could have it repaired in order to reopen that road. Drivers are encouraged to take an alternate route. Again, this is happening on Morganton Road at Cliffdale Road.
Ken, thanks for that. Today, the man charged with killing a woman in Durham on Saturday is due in court. 56-year-old Patrick Whitaker Jr. faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of 45-year-old Jennifer Moore. Authorities also charged him with larceny. Police made the arrest at a scene along NC-55 around 2:30 Saturday afternoon. We have no details on how Moore and Whitaker may have been connected. Also, police have not told us how Moore was killed. Next at noon, dangerous weather and a rising death toll from severe systems across the country, the threat of flooding in some areas that just got hammered by snow.
Also, five people shot inside a Texas home, three of them dead. What authorities are saying about this gathering of more than a dozen people in a Houston suburb.
Plus, an amateur golfer wins on the PGA Tour, but can't take the $1.5 million in prize money. What could this mean for his future?
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Good news if you like 70-degree weather. It is getting warmer, but that could mean flooding for some areas that just got a lot of snow. Amy Kiley reports.
I got all new equipment.
The death toll is rising from back-to-back storms, with Tennessee, Mississippi, and Oregon hit the worst. The severe weather isn't over yet, but it is changing. Soon, some places could be almost 30 degrees warmer than last week.
Sea is still kind of leaking and dripping down.
That's a break for people with frozen pipes.
There was a lot of loud pops, and I'm guessing that was all the pipes that were starting to crack.
The warm-up also helps places like Michigan City, Indiana, where people are digging out of 3 feet of recent snow.
I'm at people's beck and call because, number one, they have to get out.
People are asking us to clear out a parking spot in front of their house.
But while warmer weather means less snow, it doesn't necessarily mean less precipitation. Today, the Central Plains are getting sleet and ice storms. That has officials in multiple states asking people to stay home. Areas farther south likely will see even warmer temperatures. There, forecasters predict heavy rain and a risk of flooding.
That was Amy Kiley reporting.
At least three people are dead and two others injured in a shooting at a rental property in Katy, Texas. That's in the Houston area. Authorities believe there were more than a dozen people inside the home early Sunday morning when someone opened fire. Authorities say it's not clear if the shooter or shooters crashed the gathering or if they were invited. The sheriff there said the home was possibly an Airbnb. No arrests have been made so far.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Cape Verde this afternoon, set to meet with the prime minister there. He arrived this morning. It's part of a week-long tour of Africa's west coast. Blinken is slated to visit the Ivory Coast, Nigeria, and Angola, along with Cape Verde. U.S. officials say the visit will focus on regional security, democracy, and trade.
Today's Australian Open was temporarily delayed due to a woman protesting in support of Palestine. It affected the fourth-round match between tennis players Alexander Zverev and Cameron Norrie. The woman threw pamphlets during the games as she called to free Palestine. Security ushered her out while ball kids picked up the leftover paper on the tennis courts. Zverev later won the match, leading his way into the quarterfinals. And the golfer who won this week's PGA Tour event will not be collecting the $1.5 million first prize. Nick Dunlap, a 20-year-old sophomore from the University of Alabama, won the event in California, but because he's an amateur, he's not eligible to take home that money. The golfer who finished second is collecting the grand prize instead. Dunlap is the first amateur golfer to win a PGA Tour event since Phil Mickelson in 1991.
When you make a return, it doesn't always go right back on the store shelf. Jerry Willis explains what goes on behind the scenes to the items that we don't want to ensure they don't end up in the landfill.
Lots of people were shopping in 2023, but they weren't keeping everything. $743 billion in merchandise was returned in 2023, according to the National Retail Federation and APRIS. So what happens to all that stuff? That's where GoTRG comes in.
So we deal with about 40 million returns a year, which is a huge number. Individual items, everything from computers to phone cases to clothing to furniture. So everything in between, $150 billion goes into handling returns from a supply chain perspective, everything from transportation to touch.
You're also sort of saving the planet because a lot of this stuff normally would go into landfills. How much do you think you're keeping away from those landfills?
So it's a tremendous amount. It's 50 million tons of product. What happens when a customer returns an item? There is a disposition check, meaning that we run a specialty algorithm that has machine learning and a lot of data science behind it that says, is it worth touching this item in the first place? If we deem the item worth touching, meaning that there's enough of a margin left over, we're going to do something with it. The something that we do with it means that we're going to recover the highest possible margin. The last place we want to see it is destroyed, recycled, or in a landfill, making sure that product ends back on that shelf so the retailer and the vendor can see a second life for that item is the goal of the company. Literally solving returns. It's the conclusion of it. A second life, a second shelf, as we call it.
Next time you make a return, think of the journey that product is about to make.
That was Jerry Willis reporting there. All right, let's talk about the weather. You're going to like this message in the WRU Sevier Weather Center. A big warm-up on the way. That's going to be nice. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with what we're expecting right now and in the next couple of days as well.
Yeah, big changes coming our way. It is chilly out there right now. Take a look. 41 in Roxborough and South Hills, 43 in Goldsboro, 43 in Fayetteville and in Southern Pines. So our temperatures are certainly on the cool side. And it's been chilly over the weekend. Our highs on Saturday were in the 30s. We made it into the low 40s yesterday, so unusually chilly. Fortunately, we've already started to see that warm up taking place. 24-hour temperature change. We're 9 degrees warmer in South Hill and Rocky Mountain than we were this time yesterday. 10 degrees warmer in Goldsboro and Fayetteville. 12 degrees warmer in Southern Pines. So we've started that trend and we'll continue to build on this over the next few days until we get into the 70s for Thursday and Friday, and we're going to settle back into the 60s over the weekend. So this warm spell where we see temperatures warmer than normal will be with us for a while, it looks like. We take a look around town this afternoon, 49 in Raleigh, 47 in Durham, and 51 in Fayetteville. It is beautiful out there. We've got beautiful, gorgeous blue skies. Enjoy that while we have it, because by tomorrow, we start to see the clouds thickening up. And once those clouds move in, it looks like they'll be with us through the weekend, maybe even into Monday. Let's take a look at that big warm-up. Our temperatures today are still below normal. Blue color contours signify below normal temperatures. And you can start to see some warmth back to the west. Our warmth is going to come out of the Gulf of Mexico. Our flow starts to become southwesterly and pushing that warmth and that moisture in from the Gulf or from the tropics. And so temperatures will be well above normal, not just for us, but for a chunk of the country, really all the way back into the Rockies. Our temperatures will be above normal. So that will be at least through Friday, Saturday, even into Sunday before we start to see temperatures moderating a little bit. Our normal high is 52, so we're just a few degrees below that today. We'll be a few degrees above it tomorrow. Then we make a jump to 67 on Wednesday, Thursday 72, and Friday 73. Now, the records are actually 78 for Thursday and Friday, so we're not likely to either tie or break any records, but still, we'll be in the 70s. And look at this, January 29th through February 4th. So our 8 to 14 day outlook is above normal for a huge chunk of the country. The only place, ironically, that could be below normal is Florida. It just seems strange, doesn't it? Especially for this time of year. But we do have the potential to see this continue. For warm weather lovers, that's great. Anybody who is wishing for snow, January brings our best chance of snow statistically. And if we see above normal temperatures now all the way into February, that definitely lowers our chance for seeing snow. And I'll tell you what, it's been over 700 days since we've seen snow around here. All right, so a small chance for rain tomorrow and Wednesday. It's 50% chance Thursday, 60 Friday, and 50 Saturday. It's not going to rain all day those days, but we'll see some scattered light rain. On Tuesday, tomorrow, we'll see increasing clouds, a little bit of light patchy rain around lunchtime, and then into the afternoon along and east of I-95. And we'll have, again, that chance of some light rain on Wednesday. We'll see a chance of showers late Thursday into Friday, and again late Saturday into Sunday with these warm temperatures. Coming up, we'll take a closer look and walk through those dates hour by hour, and I'll show you how much rainfall we could see when you add all 4 days together.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks, Elizabeth. High-tech machines coming to more local jails. Tonight at 6, WREL investigates the impact the technology is already having and who's next to get it.
Also then at 4, people are sharing their displeasure with a proposed homeowners insurance rate hike. WREL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie shares the takeaways from today's public comments and looks into what's next in the process to raise rates. Well, still ahead at noon, seafood lovers, you may soon be paying more for your shellfish at your favorite restaurants. We'll explain how a drought is to blame.
And the amount Americans pay for groceries is going up, but it depends on where you live. We'll tell you where North Carolina stands.
A man at JFK Airport is accused of trying to smuggle cocaine in bags of jumbo shrimp. Authorities at the airport say 22-year-old Zachary Scott was arrested after landing in the U.S. from Guyana. Now, customs agents say they found about 40 pounds of cocaine in the U.S. citizen's two suitcases. Scott told investigators he had brought the packages into the country in exchange for a payment of about $5,000 or $6,000. If convicted, Scott could face a maximum of 20 years in prison.
The cost of putting food on the table is skyrocketing across the country, but what you pay for groceries also depends on where you live. A household survey from the Census Bureau shows families spend an average of $270 a week on groceries. The exact amount fluctuates with the number of people in a home. Households in California pay the most at $297 a week, and the state where families pay the least, here, North Carolina, $266 a week.
You may soon be paying more for shellfish at the grocery store or seafood restaurants. Farmers in Louisiana are concerned they could see the worst crawfish harvest season on record this year. The shortage of the beloved seafood is due to drought and other weather impacts. To harvest crawfish, farmers grow a rice crop in 2 inches of water so the females can lay hundreds of eggs. But experts say last year's drought stopped some farmers from flooding their fields.
And then there were two. Nikki Haley and former President Donald Trump are the last two vying for the GOP nomination.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news out of Goldsboro this noon. Police say a contractor who was working at a Goldsboro health facility is accused of sexually assaulting three women there.
And we are learning that he did turn himself in. WRAL's Heidi Kirk has been working the story and just spoke with police and the owners of the facility. Heidi, what can you tell us about this?
Renee, this is actually a story that I've been working on for more than a week now. A woman reached out to us saying that she came here for a massage at the day spa at the Goldsboro Spine Center near the Berkeley Mall on January 3rd, and she was sexually assaulted by Daniel James Chase. Now, just moments ago, the Goldsboro Police Department revealed she is one of three people who have similar stories to tell here. Now, Chase is facing three counts of second-degree forcible sex offense after an investigation by police, and just moments ago, I actually spoke with the owners here. They say that Chase is currently suspended from practicing here and has been since these people stepped forward. And just moments ago, we heard from police, and I'm going to look down at my phone because I want to make sure I'm getting this information correct for you. He turned himself in to the Wayne County Magistrate's Office this morning, and he was given a $25,000 secured bond. And again, this is an ongoing investigation, and we are going to stick with this story. Renee.
A very disturbing news out of Goldsboro. Heidi Kirk, live for us. Thanks, Heidi.
The first primary election of the season is tomorrow, and now there are two. Yesterday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ended his bid for the White House.
That leaves former President Trump and former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley facing off for the GOP nomination. NBC's Bree Jackson is in New Hampshire ahead of the primary.
After his much-anticipated presidential campaign failed to gain steam, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis dropped out of the 2024 presidential race, making the announcement in this video posted on X.
We don't have a clear path to victory.
DeSantis was once seen as the most formidable opponent to former President Trump, who he's now endorsing.
It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance.
Trump's campaign is using DeSantis's exit to focus attacks on former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley just days before Tuesday's New Hampshire primary.
As you know, here in New Hampshire, Nikki Haley has made an unholy alliance with rhinos, never Trumpers.
Haley is not backing down, saying this is the GOP matchup that she's been fighting for.
Can you hear that sound? That's the sound of a two-person race.
With DeSantis out, some in the Granite State are even less enthused about the limited options of presidential candidates.
I still believe that democracy reigns, and so I would like to have seen him stay in just to give the American electorate some choice.
Others say they already had their mind made up.
I think Ron DeSantis is where he belongs as governor in Florida.
Trump is pushing to secure the GOP nomination with a win in the first in the nation primary. Haley hopes to sway enough voters to close the gap between her and the former president. In Manchester, New Hampshire, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
24 candidates will appear on the Republican primary ballot in New Hampshire, but the majority of votes are expected to go to Trump and Haley. The question now, which campaign will benefit the most from DeSantis dropping out? Happening right now, people are sharing their feedback on a 42% proposed rate hike on homeowners insurance. The Department of Insurance says more than 8,600 people have emailed in comments about the hike request so far. That is more than 8 times the amount of people who commented on the 2020 rate hike proposal. The public comment hearing began at 10 and it goes until 4:30 this afternoon at the Albemarle Building on Salisbury Street in Raleigh. You can also join virtually.
Overnight, a breaking development in a political lawsuit that could affect the 2024 elections here in North Carolina. WRL state government reporter Will Doran was in court when this case was heard last month. And joining us now to talk about the judge's new ruling. Will, what is the case about? How is this going to affect people when they go to vote?
So this lawsuit is all about verifying the thousands of voters who registered to vote on the same day that they cast their ballots. And with same day registration, officials use a postcard system to verify voters' identities. After you vote, they'll send a postcard to your house, and if it's kicked back as undeliverable, your vote gets thrown out. Republicans passed a law last year that made some tweaks to that system, but critics said it would lead to too many legitimate ballots being thrown out, and the judge agreed with them.
So what does this ruling say? Who won the argument?
So this was a win for the voting rights activists. Like I said, the judge agreed that the new rules made it too easy to throw out votes. There's also an important notification aspect to all of this. People would not have been informed that their vote was being thrown out, let alone given a chance to fight that decision. So now the state has to either find a way to address those due process concerns or else not enforce the rules at all.
So do we know yet how many voters in 2024 will be affected by this change?
Can't say that yet, but in the last two elections, almost 250,000 people used same-day registration. And here in North Carolina, you know, we often see major elections come down to just a few thousand votes, sometimes even just a few hundred votes. So when people say that every vote matters, they are not exaggerating.
No, not at all. This is far from the only lawsuit you've been tracking that could affect the 2024 elections, right?
Oh, absolutely. Plenty of changes might still be on the way. We're watching lawsuits on voter ID, on gerrymandering, mail-in voting, control over the State Board of Elections, plenty more. All of these are based on new laws that Republicans have passed and which Democrats are now suing to stop.
Well, it is certainly going to be a very busy year in politics. For more on this story and all of WRL's state politics coverage, you can visit NC Capitol section of WRL.com. Will Doran, thanks.
We are working to learn if there has been an arrest in connection with a sexual assault report at an NC State sorority house. The university sent out an alert to students before 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. A female student reported that she was sexually assaulted by a male student at the Pi Beta Phi sorority house. Police do not have the suspect in custody. However, they do say that they have identified him and he is affiliated with the university.
And happening now overseas, the inauguration of a new controversial Hindu temple in India. This is a picture of that ceremony that was attended by thousands of people, millions more watched on television all across India. Prime Minister Narendra Modi presided over that inauguration of the temple devoted to Lord Ram, a historic deity in Hinduism. Now, here's why this is controversial. This temple is still under construction, but it's being built on the ruins of a historic mosque in the northern city of Ayodhya. Many see this as a political move by Modi. His governing party hopes his support of this Hindu temple will catapult him to a record third consecutive term in upcoming elections.
Ken, thanks for that. Today's County by County coverage takes us to Johnston and Granville counties. In Johnston County, we have a traffic advisory beginning tonight. Part of I-40 will experience temporary closures. Bridge work will require I-40 West at US 70 to close for several hours between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. all this week through Friday. A detour will be in place for drivers at exit 312. This is work that's part of a project to complete I-540. Today in Granville County, you can learn more about why bird populations are dropping in North Carolina and across the country. Dave Southwick of the Wake Audubon Society will give a presentation today in Oxford. He'll speak about what's contributing to the loss of birds in recent decades and what you can do to help reverse the trend. The program gets started at 7 o'clock tonight at Granville County Expo Center.
If you're looking to go out for a late lunch, you are in luck. The winter edition of Triangle Restaurant Week starts today. It will include restaurants in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Apex, Morrisville, Cary, and Holly Springs. Participating restaurants will offer a special 2 or 3 course set price menu that's between $20 and $50 each. They say that'll happen the days that they are open. You can visit restaurant websites to view their hours and the days they plan to offer these special menus.
Coming up, we've heard of bears hibernating. What about humans? Why some doctors say we sleep more in the wintertime?
And the process of getting SNAP benefits is not sitting well with some people. Why they say one key component to getting those benefits needs to end.
Happening now, we want to take you to these live pictures of a gas leak on New Bern Avenue at Clarendon Crescent. These are live pictures coming into the newsroom right now. To give you some perspective as to where this is exactly, the Alamo Draft House is not far away. Also, Enloe High School is nearby. We also understand there's a daycare center nearby. Again, these are live pictures coming in of a gas leak on New Bern Avenue at Clarendon Crescent. We're working to find out if any businesses or homes in the area are being evacuated, what caused this gas leak, and when this could be capped and the all-clear sign is given. We'll stay on top of this story and keep you updated online and during our newscast later on today.
Thanks, Ken. Do humans need to hibernate in the wintertime like animals do? New research from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine shows a third of American adults reported they sleep more in the winter. The desire for more sleep may come from the way light fluctuates in the winter. When there's less light in winter, the body gives us more REM sleep, the rapid eye movement, deep sleep. That's the stage that helps best with memory, concentration, and mood regulation.
A key stipulation for getting free food assistance could disappear if a federal agency decides to remove it. Student and advocacy groups want the U.S. Department of Agriculture to stop doing interviews to get SNAP food aid. They say the process is burdensome and causes those who need it to not get it. Interviews by phone or in person have to be completed within 30 days of an application. SNAP helps 42 million Americans with up to $401 a month per household in food aid. Coming up, the cold most of our country has been experiencing is bad for your health. We have strategies to keep your family and pets safe this winter.
And neighbors helping neighbors. That's how one Indiana city is dealing with 3 feet of snow. Hear from a couple who was pretty busy with their snowblower.
Welcome back. You're looking live at a beautiful sunny Franklinton. You're watching WRAL News, available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. Well, as much of the country deals with frigid temperatures, it creates dangerous conditions for people and pets.
Ted Lindner takes a closer look at some other strategies health experts say you can do to keep your family safe this season.
Extreme cold keeps lashing much of the country with a frigid vengeance.
Oh, it's cold. It's cold.
So far, this month's winter storms have killed dozens of people across the U.S. Snow, rain, and below freezing temperatures all posing hazards to our health.
You can have frost nip, frost bite, hypothermia. Our brain can become affected where we get confused all the way to becoming unresponsive in some states. We also are no longer able to do fine coordination with our fingers, and our gross motor skills are affected.
And while it's critical to wear a thick winter jacket and cover exposed skin with a hat and gloves when heading outside, Dr. Nicole McAllister of The Ohio State University says staying safe from the cold starts inside your home.
So this involves eating the correct amount of calories and hydration so that your body's metabolism can function the way it's supposed to and protect you against the cold weather.
Meantime, animal lovers also need to be mindful about their pets' well-being this season.
When the temperature gets below 20 degrees, really all pets should come inside.
Dog owners should avoid walking their pets on sidewalks covered in rock salt, which can crack and burn their paws. And when it comes to cats...
Cats that are outside, they like to stay warm too. And unfortunately, they like warm car engines. So if your car's outside and you're getting ready to go out for the day, make sure you kind of pound on that hood a little bit so that any critter that might be up in there jumps out.
Wow, could you imagine? That was Ted Linder reporting.
Well, take a look at this video out of Michigan City, Indiana. You can see the cars covered in snow. They got 36 inches of snow there. Snow plowers have been working through the night to plow snow for homes and businesses. And now neighbors are helping neighbors. Husband and wife Michelle and Aaron Lindsay posted on Facebook they had a snowblower and everyone started reaching out for help.
People were asking us to clear out parking spot in front of their house. They're just getting off of work. They saw us doing someone else's house, so kind of just kept going from there.
Michigan City was under a snow emergency through Saturday night as crews needed time to catch up as that snow just kept on coming down. At that rate, it is tough to catch up with. We're going to catch up the easy way, just sunshine and warmer temperatures. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRN Severe Weather Center right now. I see some folks out there getting some exercise.
I love this. So these guys, I've noticed multiple times at noon on the lawn here at the DPAC in Durham, out there playing soccer. I love it. So it's been kind of fun to kind of spy on them a little bit this afternoon. It's chilly. Temperatures are going to be warming up. I think people are going to be anxious to get outside with some of the warmer weather. But with that, we're going to have some warmer temperatures. I'm looking at the Fountain Mountain here and thinking cold. Oh, this is a look down from the top. You can't really tell how tall it is, but it is overhead high right now, but not for long. Our temperature will be close to freezing overnight tonight, and then after that, we don't have any more freezing temperatures in our 7-day forecast all the way into Monday. So it's been a long time since we've seen our big Fountain Mountain. It's a decades old tradition here at WREL. We're going to say goodbye to it. We may not see it again for quite some time. 43 in Roxboro right now, 43 Southern Pines, 45 Clinton, 44 in Goldsboro. As I mentioned earlier in the newscast, our temperatures are running about 10 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday. We have some messy weather here in the middle of the country. This high pressure system has kept things dry but cold for us. As that high moves out, we're going to start to see some of this moisture pushing into our area, but it's all going to be rain, and it's not going to rain continuously, but we're definitely going to see a more moist air mass. The brown shaded area is where the dry air is. It's out of here by tomorrow morning. You'll notice a difference in how the air feels. It's going to start to warm up. It'll feel like there's more moisture in the atmosphere. I don't want to say muggy. It's not going to feel muggy. You'll just notice the difference in terms of the moisture in the atmosphere. Future gas for tomorrow morning is likely to be cloudy. Once these clouds roll in, they are going to be here for a while. We're looking at some scattered light rain for tomorrow, mostly developing right around lunchtime from the Triangle area toward Rocky Mountain, Goldsboro, Clinton, back towards Southern Pines. It's likely to be with us kind of on and off for 2 or 3 hours, and then it starts to fizzle out. But the clouds don't clear. These clouds are likely to be with us for Tuesday night and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Here's a look at Futurecast. We'll kick things off again right now with increasing clouds, a little bit of light patchy rain Tuesday and maybe Wednesday too. We've got 20% on there just to kind of cover the bases, but a better chance for rain as we get through into, say, Thursday. There's 5 p.m. on Thursday, and we'll continue to have that cold front moving through, bringing us that chance of some rain. All total, we're looking at about an inch to an inch and a half, and with a chance of light rain Tuesday and Wednesday, a good chance of rain Thursday night into Friday, and another chance like late Saturday into Sunday. That's a lot of chances for rain, but we're still only looking at about an inch to an inch and a half total for that time period. So that lets you know that we're not looking at a lot of heavy rain out of the system. We just have sort of a long duration that we could see the rain falling. So 49 today, 55 Tuesday, 67 Wednesday, 72 on Thursday, 73 on Friday. The record highs for both of those days are 78. So we're not likely to set any records, but we'll continue to have rain on and off. It's not going to rain solid Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have some pockets of rain and some pockets where it's dry, but we are not likely to completely clear out.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, an unusual Valentine's Day promotion for a few zoos, why they want you to pay to name a cockroach, and what the promotion has to do with the heart holiday.
And welcome back to these blue, sunny skies over North Hills. Temperatures, they're getting there. We have definitely cracked the freezing mark, and they'll be on the rise for the rest of the week as well. We wrap things up this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A teenager has been identified as the driver in a crash that killed four people this morning in Johnston County. Law enforcement says a state trooper clocked the car going 104 miles per hour right before it hit several trees. Authorities have identified 17-year-old Alan Lockamy as the driver.
We'll learn more this afternoon about the Durham Public Schools' ongoing employment payment issues. The school board held a closed-door meeting this morning to address the ongoing dispute. We're expecting a statement from the school board chair, Bettina Umstead, with the outcome of that meeting. We'll bring you those details coming up on our News at 4.
Police say a contractor accused of sexually assaulting three women at a Goldsboro health facility has turned himself in. Goldsboro police say Daniel James Chase is now facing three counts of second-degree forcible sex offense after an investigation by police. The assaults happened at the day spa at the Goldsboro Spine Center. Owners at the day spa say Chase is not seeing patients and is under suspension pending an investigation.
Last weekend's Kansas City Chiefs game was the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium in history. It was so cold that head coach Andy Reid's mustache formed icicles. Now a company, of course, marketing that frozen stash image on T-shirts. Ultimate Athletic Sportswear is selling at least 8,000 of the shirts, authorized and autographed by Reid. They'll include the slogan, "That's how we roll again."
He's very simple. You know, the guy next door, he's relatable, but it's the mustache, you know, and you throw in a little ice, print some T-shirts, and we got a success story.
At least for now, they're only available at Hy-Vee supermarkets. The company also plans to sell sweatshirts and hoodies with the same image.
And the road to the Super Bowl continues with Reid's Kansas City Chiefs playing the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game Sunday. Then at 6:30 on Fox 50, the Detroit Lions and San Francisco 49ers face off to see who will be crowned NFC champion. The winners of both matchups will head to the Super Bowl on February 11th. If you need a reason to get back at your ex this Valentine's Day, you can name a roach after them. The Bronx and San Antonio zoos both say says love better than roaches, right? At the Bronx Zoo, you can pay to share your loved one's name with a Madagascar hissing roach. At the San Antonio Zoo, the Crimea Cockroach fundraiser lets exes strike back by naming that cockroach that will eventually get eaten by a zoo animal.
They do this every year. I love it. It's amazing. All right, today's pet of the day comes from Safe Haven. From Cats Meet Honey Lilac. She's a mature girl who wants a quiet home. Honey may be 7-plus years old, but she's full of energy and she loves to play. If you're looking for a kitty who just wants cuddle time and love, this is the lady for you. If you're interested in adopting Honey Lilac, you can call the number on your screen.
Pretty cute.
Very cute.
Coming up on our news at 4, AI technology could be the next chapter in cancer detection and diagnosis. How one U.S. hospital is testing the technology's accuracy.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. We'll have your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Monday.